Continue with the series, the Men and Women of the Bible. We started off with Noah, the great man who built the ark and saved mankind and the animals. Today we look at Ruth, right? A simple woman who lived in the time of the judges. Okay, now, it's a background. Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land. They fought and they conquered, they chased away all the people who stayed there, and they took over the land. Now Joshua has passed away, and the land is now ruled by judges. People, men and women who were raised by God to give advice to the people, to teach them and to lead them in the ways of God. But unfortunately, the people of Israel drifted away from worshipping the true God, and God punished them. Sometimes he sent their enemies to attack them and conquer them. Other times he sent famine. Famine means there was no rain, the plants did not grow, there was a lack of food. And at this time, a famine hit Israel. And this man by the name of Elimelech, he left Israel with his wife and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They crossed over to this land of Moab to find a better life. Moab at this time was not suffering from famine. They had plenty of food to eat. So the people of Israel, this Elimelech and his family, crossed over to the land of Moab to find a better life, to find food for themselves to eat. Now Moab, if you look into the book of Genesis, came from Lot. This man called Lot. He was a nephew of Abraham. Lot escaped the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost everything. He ended up living in a cave. And something terrible happened. His eldest daughter slept with her father. And the union resulted in this son named Moab. Okay, and the people who came from this man, Moab, were an adulterous nation. They worshipped false gods. They did terrible things. Right? And when the Israelites met up with the Moabites, the people of Moab, the men, the Israelite men, married the women and they were led away. They began to worship idols. We see this in Numbers chapter 25, verse 1. So the Moabites were a snare, a trap to the people of Israel. They worship idols, they were not the people of God. And so this family of Elimelech went into Moab to live there. Elimelech died. A few years later, his sons married two women of Moab. Their names were Orpah and Ruth. And this was done against a clear command of God. We see this in the book of Joshua chapter 23. Joshua tells the people, you shall not give your daughters and your sons in marriage to a people who are outside of Israel. But the two sons disobeyed and they married. But in the story of Ruth, we see how God overrules disobedience to bring about his ends. Right? That doesn't mean that we are going to do wrong things, so that God will bless us, overcome our disobedience and do great things with us. Right? We are to live a life of obedience. But we see here God's sovereignty. He is able to take something that is wrong, use it, and make it come out in accordance to his will. That is our God. That is our great God, who is in control of all these things. So Ruth and Orpah, they married into this family. They were married for 10 years. None of them had any children. And after 10 years, the two men died. Mahlon and Chilion passed away. And so we were left with these three widows. And news came to Naomi that in her homeland of Israel, the famine had ended. There was plenty to eat now. And so she wanted to return to her own home country, to return to her own people. And before she left, she turned to her two daughters-in-laws and urged them to leave her. She asked her two daughters-in-laws to go back to their own people, to leave her alone, to start a new future with their own people instead of staying with her. She said, there's no point staying with me. I'm a widow, you will stay widows, I'm poor, you will be poor. No? As the story went, Orpah turned back, went back to her own people. But Ruth stayed with Naomi. Ruth followed Naomi back into Israel and stayed with her. And here we have our her story. Right? And as usual, we like to look at three things. First of all, we look at Ruth, the woman. Secondly, we look at her life. And thirdly, we look at the lessons that we can learn from her life. Okay? Now, Ruth came from an idolatrous nation, a nation which did not know God. But Ruth in her life clearly showed her faith in God and her devotion to her mother-in-law, Naomi. It was obvious to all the people who knew her, who saw her, who heard about her. In Ruth chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, these are the words of Boaz, her future husband. He says here, Ruth chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "And Boaz answered and said to her, 'It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge.'" So her life was an open book. Her life of faith in God, her life of devotion to her mother-in-law was clear to everybody. Her life was a matter of actions and not just words. Too often, we say we care about this person, we care about this person and so forth. But we forget to pray for them. We forget to think about them. Too often we say that we love God. We love His church. But in our actions, we prove that we are not. Too often, our actions do not match our words. But it's not so with Ruth. She lived out her life. People could see that she was faithful to God, that she was depending upon God for her life. People could see that she loved her mother-in-law, Naomi. It was very clear that her actions matched her words. So first thing we see here is that now Ruth was a clear-minded woman. You know what clear-minded means? That our minds are not filled with this worry, that worry, these doubts and those doubts. Her mind was clear. In the 10 years that she lived with Naomi after getting married, she had learned about the worship of the true God. She could see, as opposed to the idols of her people and Jehovah God, whom Elimelech and his sons worshipped. She could see a difference. She may have learned or heard about the stories of how God, with His power, sent Moses into Egypt and freed His people from slavery. She would have learned about the stories of how God led them into the promised land. God helped them to drive away all their enemies and settle them down into their promised land. She could see the difference between the God of Israel, the true God, and the gods of her own people. She knew that the Israelites did not worship idols. They worshiped the one true God. Ruth was made to see the uselessness, the futility of worshiping idols. She saw how helpless these idols were. The gods of her people had to be carried around. They had to be fed. They had to be housed in houses to protect them from the sun, from the rain. She could see that these gods were not really gods at all. Now when you travel around in India a lot, you see many shrines by the roadside. And many of these shrines have gates in them. The gates are open during the day for people to come and give their offerings. But in the evening, the gates are closed to protect their gods. Because if they are not careful, goats, cows, or some other animals will wander inside and make a mess of the place. So at night, they close the gates to keep their gods from being harmed or dirty. So Ruth would have seen all these things. Her mind was opened by God, and she saw the futility of bowing down to the gods of her people. These gods which have eyes but do not see, ears but do not hear, hands and feet but cannot move. How silly, isn't it, to worship these things made by man. So her mind was clear. She will not follow these things, but she will follow the one true God. And secondly, we see that she was a brave woman. Now bravery doesn't mean doing heroic things, right? Like fighting a lion or fighting a thief or whatever. You can be brave in your life by being committed to what you know is true. And here we see that Ruth was a brave woman. She left her own people, her own family, and the gods that they worshipped. She turned away from them to follow Naomi back into Israel. This was a very big step of faith. Because where she was going to, she was a stranger. Nobody knew her. She had no relatives, no friends, and no future. Because she's a widow. She'll probably find it difficult to get married again. But she followed. Now many of us dislike changes. I suppose when you're younger, like our teenagers, they don't mind change. Today they idolize this singer. Next moment he or she is out of favor, they turn to another singer. They follow this singer. Today they are friends with this group of people. Next moment they quarrel, they leave them out, and then they find another group of friends. Maybe the younger people, teenagers, they have no problem with changes. But when you come to a certain age, you like things to be more settled, right? You like things to be more familiar. You wake up every morning, you know where you put your things. You know you are going to this office, you are going to see these people, you know how they are going to behave. You like things to be familiar. But the fact of the matter is, the only constant thing in this world is change itself. We change, the world changes. The skin that you have now on you is not the same skin you had 3 or 4 days ago. The harder you scrub, the more skin you lose. So you have a new skin today compared to the skin that you had a few days ago. Circumstances change. The world that we lived in 30 years ago is different from today. Where on earth did you read in the newspapers about suicide bombers on the front page of the papers? Today it is common news. Our children have to ask us, what are suicide bombers? They are learning things that we did not know when we were young. The world has changed. People change. Circumstances change. Like it or not, change is with us. And Ruth experienced a great change. She married into a family. She had a husband. Next moment she lost her husband. She lost her brother-in-law. There was no one left, no man left in the family, only 3 widows. Her father-in-law has passed away long ago. Only 3 women, 3 widows left. There was a great change. In those times, without a man in the family, the women were very exposed to dangers, exposed to poverty. So she experienced a great change. Her future was bleak. As Naomi pointed out, if you follow me, you'll be a widow for the rest of your life. You'll be poor. Orpah, her sister-in-law, turned back. She did not want to face these changes. She went back to her family. She went back to her people. To a more certain future. But Ruth bravely stuck on to Naomi. She did not know what lay ahead. But she bravely stuck on. She turned away from her people, their gods, to follow Naomi. To follow her people, to worship her God. She was a brave woman. Her mind was clear. Because her mind was clear, she was brave. That was Ruth, the woman. Secondly, we see her life. Again, I'd like to point to two clear things about her life. First of all, Ruth lived a faithful or committed life. She made up her mind to follow Naomi, and she stuck to it. In the beginning, when Naomi wanted to return home, both Orpah and Ruth said that they would follow her. In Ruth chapter 1 verse 10, this is what both of them said. Surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi discouraged them. Naomi said, don't follow me. You will remain widows if you follow me. She said, even if today I get married, Naomi told them, if I get married today and I have a son or two sons today to give you as your, to be your husbands, you won't be able to wait for them till they are adults and get married to them and become my daughters-in-laws again. So Naomi discouraged them, not once but twice. And Orpah changed her mind and she turned back. Ruth refused to change her mind. Even when the reasons were logical. If she went back to her own people with Orpah, her family would take care of her. Somehow they will find a new husband for her. Get her settled down and give her a good life. It's logical. It's reasonable. But she refused to accept that, those arguments. She made up her mind to follow Naomi. You see this in Ruth chapter 1 verse 16. We read just now. She says, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. She made up her mind. She lived it. She lived a faithful life with Naomi. She made up her mind, and not once through this her story did she ever complain about her circumstances. She was faithful till the very end. Now our Lord Jesus Christ taught us about deciding to follow Him. In Luke chapter 9 verse 62, He tells us, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now today we don't plow. None of us are farmers here. But in those days when you are plowing the field, you have an ox in front of you pulling your plow, and you're supposed to break up the earth and make a straight line so that people behind you can plant the seeds in a straight line. Your objective in the plow is to make a straight line. So you, when you are plowing, you focus on something in front of you, maybe a tree or a mountain in front of you, and you follow that focal point so that you can plow a straight line. Now if you start looking back, you will lose your direction, and in the end, you will lose your way. Instead of a straight line, you will have some curves here and there. And people will not be able to plant a straight row of plants. So the Lord Jesus here tells us, when we are committed, when we say that we want to be faithful to God, do so. Follow through. The more important something is to us, the more committed we should be to it. Right? If we are asked to give our lives for something, we will want to know what we are giving our lives for. If you want to die for your hobby, or you want to die for your family, which would you choose? Would you die for your hobby? I hope not. You die for your family. You're committed to it. You're faithful to your family. Because that is something worth dying for. Not your hobby. People who risk their lives to play golf on a rainy day and get killed, they are struck by lightning. It's not a worthwhile thing to die for. So Ruth was faithful to God. She left her family, her country, to join Naomi. And the picture of Ruth leaving her country is a picture of the Christian who follows Christ. He leaves everything. He leaves the world. He may have to leave his friends, his relatives, and maybe even his job to follow Christ. There is a price to be paid in following Christ. And if we are to be serious with God, we must pay that price. Let us not fool around with God. Let us not say something to God and don't mean it. Let us not take God lightly. The things at stake are too important. Our souls are at stake. God showed that He was faithful to us even before we showed our faith to Him. God showed His faith to us by planning salvation. God sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. If we realize that following Christ is the right thing to do, then let us do it wholeheartedly. Let us be ready to commit our whole life and our whole future to Him and Him alone. Let us have no regrets when we say we want to follow God. If we come to church because we know it is a good thing for us to do, we know it is our duty, but in our minds we are thinking, my friends are enjoying themselves somewhere. Why am I here? You are not serious with God. If we start calculating, I've given this much in my tithes. If I hadn't given, I would have so much money. I could have spent it and bought something else. We are not being serious with God. Let us be faithful to Him and show it in our lives. Let us make up our minds that when we turn from the world and turn towards God, there's no need to look back. Because the world has nothing worthwhile to offer us. Nothing the world can give us can compare with what God is giving us or will give us in heaven. So when we turn from the world, make sure we turn fully towards God. Ruth committed her whole life and her whole future to God. And she was greatly blessed. We too will experience the blessings of God when we turn away from the world and turn totally to Him. So she lived a faithful life, a committed life. And secondly, we see that Ruth lived an obedient life. Her life in Israel was characterized by obedience. She heeded good advice. The first thing we hear from about her obedience is in Ruth chapter 2 verse 8. Now during that time, there's a law passed in Israel. When you're harvesting, Ruth and Naomi went back to Israel during the barley harvest. So the people were cutting the barley, they were collecting it. But there was a rule in Israel that whatever fell onto the ground, the people were not supposed to turn around and collect it. Whatever fell from their hands was left behind, they were to leave it, so that the poor people could come and collect. This was a merciful law from God. We do not sweep everything up and leave nothing. The people who collected, when they saw something drop, they were to leave it there. And Ruth came to this field to collect. And this field belonged to a man named Boaz, her future husband. And Boaz gave her this advice in Ruth chapter 2 verse 8. He says, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women." So Boaz told her, "Don't go anywhere else. Stay in my field. Stay with my young women. Collect from my field." And she did it. She did not look around and say, "Oh, perhaps that field has got more to offer," and wander off there. She did not. She heeded good advice. She followed the words of Boaz. And then later on, when she went back to be with Naomi, she told Naomi, "I collected this from from the field of Boaz. Naomi realized that this Boaz was a very close relative of hers. And this man Boaz could help her, could help them out of their trouble. And so she gave this advice to Ruth. In chapter 3, verses 4 and 6, she tells Ruth, "Then it shall be when he lies down, then that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down. And he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, Ruth tells Naomi, "All that you say to me, I will do." Right? Now this is a funny custom in Israel. Naomi actually told Ruth, "You find out where this Boaz is sleeping. After a hard day's work, he will be sleeping with his workers. You find out where he is sleeping. You go to him when he's asleep, uncover his feet, and lie down at his feet." This was actually a proposal for marriage. In doing this, Ruth was asking Boaz to marry her and take care of her. And Ruth did exactly what Naomi tells her. She did not tell Naomi, "Is there some other way or not? Can I find a better husband or a younger man?" Because Boaz apparently was an older man, perhaps twice her age. Because when Boaz finds out about what Ruth had done for him, he commends her. In Ruth chapter 3 verse 10, he says, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." So Boaz was, in a way, surprised. This is a young lady coming to him. She could have gone off to some other men, younger men. And actually, if she did go for a younger man, we can't really blame her, isn't it? Even in our society, we will want our sons and our daughters to marry close, with people closer to their age. I wouldn't want a son-in-law who is old enough to be my grandfather or my father. We will want them to marry at similar ages. Right? It's the right thing to do. But here in this case, Naomi advises Ruth to approach Boaz for marriage. And she does exactly that. She did not tell Naomi, "Nola, this man is twice my age. He's ridiculous." No. She obeyed. She obediently carried out what Naomi advised her. And because she obeyed Naomi, things worked out well for her. Her obedience was paid off. God blessed her obedience. Now, in our Christian life, we always think that we must do great things for God before He's happy with us. We must come to church regularly. We must give all our lives to church, to church work and whatever. We must give as much as we can to the offering. We must be active. We think that by doing all these things, we make God happy with us. But God's desire for His people is basically that we obey Him. He desires obedience in His people far above anything that we can give Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, He makes this very clear to us. This is the story of Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22, He says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." God wants us to obey Him. Why we live in a sinful world today, why we are suffering in this world today, is because of disobedience. Adam, the first man, disobeyed God, and sin entered into this world. And today we continue to suffer, not only because of the sins that we have inherited from Adam, our sinful nature, we suffer because of our own sins of disobedience. We refuse to follow what God tells us. We want to go our own way. Look at ourselves. Look at our children. We tell them not to do this thing, they'll do it. The more you tell them, the more they'll want to do it. You tell them to do this thing, they refuse. Look at the laws that we have in this land. We have this hanging sentence for drug possession. Has it solved anything? No. The government is now seriously looking at giving away free syringes. No, free clean syringes to identify hardcore addicts. So that if they have AIDS, they will not pass on to other people. This is an admission. An open admission at the bankruptcy of our laws and our enforcement. We are going the way of other nations. We can't stop them. Then we try and control them. No? Death sentence for drug trafficking, and yet the number of drug addicts in our country continue to increase. Man refuses to obey God. He wants his own way. There's this story of a boy. His father tells him, don't take the motorbike out to town. What does the boy do? He takes the motorbike out of town. Every time the father is not at home, he will scoot off to town and be with his friends on his father's motorbike. One fine day, he goes to town with the motorbike and somebody steals the motorbike. The boy is scared. He knows that he has disobeyed his father and he will be punished. And what does he do? He runs away from home. He refuses to go home. His father is looking for him. And what happened? One day, the boy is riding to work. He's run over by a lorry or a car, and he dies. The father finds him by the roadside. Disobedience. We disobey God in our own lives. And we make him very, very unhappy. Children, I give you a secret here. How can you keep your parents healthy and happy? You obey them. Every time you make your parents angry, something happens in the body. The body produces certain chemicals which are harmful to the body. And that makes the body weaker. The person who gets angry too often, who produces these chemicals too much, falls sick quite easily. So if you want your parents to be healthy and happy, obey them. Don't stress them out. We show our love for our own parents by obeying them. Of course, when they ask us to do things which are reasonable, which are within the commands of God, we obey. If your father tells you to smoke, boys and girls, you don't follow. It's the wrong thing to do. You don't obey. Right? But if he tells you the right thing to do, you obey. You follow. If we want to show our love to our parents, we obey them. As Christians, if we want to show our love to God, we obey Him. Happily. Willingly. Not with a sour face. Not by dragging our feet. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, the Lord tells us, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. We follow God happily and willingly. Ruth lived an obedient life, and God blessed her. And if we live obedient lives, we will enjoy God's blessings. That is as simple as that. So you've seen Ruth, the woman, her life, and now we come to the lessons in her life. There are two lessons here. First is that God elects. God chooses whom He will save. Remember, Orpah and Ruth, they were married into the same family. Both were exposed to the teachings about Jehovah God. Both knew about God. But only Ruth responded by living the life that she lived, a committed, obedient life to Jehovah God. Orpah, on the other hand, turned away. She went back to her own people and to the idols. This Ruth, she is a Moabite. She's not even an Israelite. She belongs to a nation which has been rejected by God. And yet God saved her. Yet God brought her out of her sins and brought her into His kingdom. You see here, God is merciful to save even someone who does not belong to His chosen people. We should be thankful to God that the Jews are no longer just the chosen people of God. Salvation is open to all. Whatever your skin color, whatever your background, salvation is a gift from God. It is His gift to give whoever He chooses. It is not our right to demand. Too often we think that we are good in God's sight. We tell ourselves, I'm hardworking, I'm decent, I'm clean, I don't cheat, I don't beat my wife, I'm not cruel to my children, I don't kill, people respect me, I'm a decent person. God must save me. God should save me. But God does not owe us anything. We are sinners. God does not owe us anything. If He left every one of us to go to hell, we cannot point a finger at him and say, it is not fair. We cannot say, God, You must save me. We all deserve punishment from Him. In Romans chapter 3 verse 23, it tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. We have no right. We have no standing before God to ask Him to save us. We are lost. And He allows us to be saved if He chooses us. That is His mercy. That is His grace. That is His choice. And Ruth was one of them. She did not come on her own. She did not choose to follow God on her own. God drew her. In John chapter 6 verse 65, the Lord Jesus tells us, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. You think that you are a Christian today because you opened the way, that you opened the Bible and read and understood it and decided in your heart that I will be a Christian today? No! God opened our hearts. God opened our understanding. God gave us a glimpse of what we are really like. Maybe some of us had a glimpse of hell, so we quickly turned to Him. Some of us, when we read about the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ taught more about hell than about heaven. Some of us are literally scared into heaven. I do not want to go to hell. But where else can I go? Heaven. How can I get there? God opened Ruth's understanding. God led her out of a life of darkness and into a blessed life. God gave her the courage to turn away from her people. God gave her the courage to press on in her life, although the life had no future. God gave her the commitment. God helped her in her obedience in following her. Remember, Orpah wanted to follow Naomi. She said the same words as Ruth. We will go with you to your people. But God was not with Orpah. God was not with Orpah. And she turned back. She was lost. Ruth persevered because God enabled her to. God was with Ruth. Now today you are here in this church listening to God's word. It is not by accident. God did something to allow you to come here. You could be with millions of others, your friends, your relatives who are outside now enjoying themselves. Many of them may not have got out of bed yet. They may still be sleeping. Many of your friends and your colleagues are enjoying themselves in the shopping complexes, swimming, playing golf, or whatever. But you are here. God has brought you here to hear His word, And I pray that you will respond to His word. Boys and girls, in a way you have been forced to come here because you follow your parents. But you thank God for your parents. Your Christian parents pray for you. They read the Bible to you. They bring you here to church to listen to His word. Be thankful for this blessing. Because many of your friends, other children, they don't come to church. They go to temples. Even temples are Sunday schools now, you know. But they learn the wrong things. They go to temples, they go to the playgrounds to enjoy themselves. They learn nothing about God. They are no nearer to God today than 10 years ago. But you are here. You are here listening to God's word. It is a blessing. Do not ignore it. Do not pass it by. If you feel you want to know God, you want to follow God, He's telling you today to do so. Don't let this opportunity slip by. Ask God to draw you to Him. And secondly, the lesson that we learn from Ruth's life is this. God blesses faithfulness and obedience. Now, if you have not read the whole story of Ruth, let's make it short. In Ruth chapter 4 verse 13, this is what happened to Ruth. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception and she bore a son. Boaz finally married Ruth. Took her as his wife, probably a second wife. But he loved her. And from the union came a son. See, the Lord blessed her. The Lord gave her conception. He's not the husband. The Lord. The blessing of this son came from the Lord. God Himself. She who lost everything. She who left everything behind to follow God. Experienced the blessings and the smile of God. God gave her a good husband. And best of all, He gave her a son. And this is a special son, not just any ordinary boy. In Ruth chapter 4 verse 17, it tells us, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And who is this David? David is the great king of Israel. From David came our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. She who did not belong to God's people. She who lost everything and left everything. Experienced this great blessing from God. What an honor. What an honor to be an ancestor of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. These blessings came to her because she lived for God. Too often, we think that we as believers, that no, I'm a child of God, God must bless me because I walk according to His will. Too often, we hear of churches telling us, God will bless you with health, God will bless you with prosperity, come to the church, join us and experience God's blessings upon you. But look at Job. You remember the story of Job? Look at Daniel. Look at Peter. Look at Paul. They all live righteous lives. They all live obedient lives to God. And yet they all suffered. Job suffered in the beginning. He lost everything. Daniel was raised to a position of second in the kingdom. And yet he suffered. Peter and Paul preached the gospel bravely. They followed God's commands exactly. Yet they suffered. Remember the parable of Lazarus the beggar? You see this in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 onwards. There's a picture of Lazarus. He's a beggar. He suffers in this world. And then there's a picture of the rich man. He enjoys this world. Both died. Lazarus went to heaven to be with God. The rich man went down to hell to be in the absence of God. The picture of the Lazarus is the picture of Christians. The picture of the rich man is the picture of non-believers. They enjoy themselves in this world because they are not governed by God's laws. They can do whatever they want. Think whatever they want. They have all the money in the world is spent upon themselves. They have no thought for God. They have no time for God. They live only for themselves. They are unfaithful to God. They are not obedient to God. Lazarus, on the other hand, is a poor man. He is poor because he does not belong to this world. Lazarus does not belong to this world. He does not enjoy the things of this world. He cannot do anything that he wants because he is under the grace of God. He is under the laws of God. If you love God, you obey God. So under God's laws, there are many things of this world that we cannot do. And that is for our own good. And so in a way, we suffer in this world. But in the end, we are blessed. Lazarus enjoys God's presence in heaven. The rich man suffers in hell. The blessings of health and wealth have never been taught in the Bible. You must remember this. Just because we are Christians doesn't automatically mean that we will be healthy always, that we will be wealthy always. No. The Bible never teaches that. If we are healthy and we are wealthy and at the same time we are the children of God, praise God. But pray to God that you do not be tempted to wander away from God. But the teaching of suffering for God, for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is clearly taught in the Bible. We will suffer for God. Because we do not belong to this world. This world does not recognize us. This world does not want us. Therefore, the Christian will suffer for his faith. But too often, we Christians suffer because of our own sins. Our own sins of disobedience. Look at the case of King David. A man of God. When he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He committed a great sin. And worse than that, he murdered Bathsheba's husband. God punished him. And he suffered. He suffered greatly. But in the end, he turned from his sins. He went back to God. He repented. When we suffer because of our disobedience to God, we may lose assurance of God's forgiveness. We may lose the assurance of his presence. We may feel confused and we may feel despair over our situation. And Satan will take this opportunity to attack us, to attack our faith in God. His aim is to draw us away from God. We must not allow this to happen. When we suffer because of our sins, you must turn to God. You must make sure, you must be clear of your sins to God and turn from them. Repent, persevere in your obedience by turning to God, by asking God to forgive you of your sins, and you will experience God's smile upon you again. God blesses obedience. When we have sinned against Him, or we turn back to Him in obedience, He will smile upon us again. Just like Ruth, she was an idol worshipper from a people who refused to obey God, but she turned to God. She obeyed God. And God blessed her. God blessed her in a way that is beyond imagination. Who would have thought that this woman from Moab, a widow, would end up being an ancestor to King David and an ancestor to the Lord Jesus Christ? That is a great honor from God to her. So in conclusion, let us see how kind God was to Ruth. She did not belong to God's people, yet she was shown mercy, she was saved, and she was honored. God chose to save her. God did not choose to save Oprah. God chose to save Ruth, and she showed that God had saved her by following Him, by living a life of obedience to Him. If you come to God today, don't think that you deserve salvation from God. Come with nothing in your hands. Ruth came to God with nothing. She was a nobody. God did not turn her away. If you come to God today, He will not turn you away as well. The devil may tell you, you are not from a Christian background. God will not recognize you. The Bible will tell, the devil will tell you, you try reading the Bible, you won't even understand one-tenth of it. God will not accept you. The devil will remind you of your past, the evil things that you have done. The devil will tell you, you have committed your life to this God. No? You have asked this demon to help you. You have done this, you have done that. They will not let you go. God will not accept you. The devil will tell you, your relatives will laugh at you if you turn to God. Your friends will reject you. The devil will tell you there will be much suffering being a Christian. So do not be fooled. The devil will tell you many things about being a Christian. Look at Ruth. Look at Ruth. How God treated her. He will do the same to you if you ask Him for His forgiveness for your sins. If you ask God to help you turn away from your sins, if you ask God to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you ask God to give you strength to live in accordance to His will, He will do it. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 3, He tells us, incline your ear. Read here. Come to me. Hear. And your soul shall live. God calls. You must answer. Do not let anything keep you away from Him. Remember Ruth. She went to Him. She was saved. And she was blessed.